have some visiting with us and want you to know we consider you an honored guest. I want you to feel at ease as you make your visit with us. And one way we believe that will make you feel at ease is if you'll take your Bible and open your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, in this local church family, we'll be glad to pray with and for you, whatever your spiritual need may be. I noticed that Brother Travis turned the lights off before I got up here. I stand in the dark a lot in my life, but he wants to leave me in the dark, or he must think that I can't be seen. That's why I wear bright clothes, so I can be seen wherever I go. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to the book of Mark in the 5th chapter, I want to read with you 2 verses for the thought of our study. Mark chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, to get the thought for our study. "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.'" You know, one of the most beautiful things in life is to see what we might call a concerned father. A father that looks upon his child with concern, whether it be for their physical well-being, their mental well-being, or their spiritual well-being. And when you think about a man who wants to raise his children up to do that which is right in the eyes of God, that is a precious sight indeed. And it is my belief this morning that a true father shows constant concern for his children. It doesn't just start on the day they're born and stop when they're 18, but that a father will care for his child the whole life through. But what I'd like for us to do this morning is look at a father who we might call a concerned father. And we want to examine 2 things about this man and then make application to our life, and the lesson will be yours. I want you to take note of this man identified as Jairus. And I want you to take note that this man comes to Jesus and you see a father's concern expressing itself in action. That's the first thought I want you to get in your mind. A father's concern expresses itself in action. Jesus made many a father happy when he was here on earth in his earthly ministry. And it seemed that Jesus was pleased to minister to young people. But in our study, let's look at this man who is identified as Jairus, a concerned father. First, if you will, in your Bible, take note that the divine revelation says in verse 22 that he was an individual that was religious. Notice, if you will, that he was one of the rulers of the synagogue. Everything recorded about this man is complimentary. He held a responsible position. He was the ruler of the synagogue. He was a religious individual. The implication that he would be in the synagogue and be one who rules over the synagogue implies that he was religious. And to be a leader implies that he has been active. He was active in serving God. He was active in doing the will of God. And he was not just someone who sat back and expected everything to be done for him. But the second thing I want you to note is that his child became sick. In fact, his 12-year-old daughter came sick to the point of death. Can you imagine in your heart the feeling in the man when he looked at his daughter and he saw the possibility that she might die? And here was this man looking at his 12-year-old child, and he begins to think, "What can I do?" And I want you to take note, he was willing to do something daring. Here is his daughter sick and dying. Everything the man could do for her has been done. And here he looks at his 12-year-old at the brink of death, and he looks out and he thinks, "What can I do?" His love for her constrained him to take an unusual step. Because you see, at that time, the rulers were against Jesus. Many of the religious leaders opposed Jesus. And Jairus knew that the other religious leaders opposed him. And yet, Here, though, they met Jesus with a disregard of attitude. He was boldly going to go to Jesus. And I want you to stop and think, that was a courageous thing to do. To go against his contemporaries, to go against other religious leaders, to go against the Pharisees, to go against the people in Jerusalem who had called Jesus everything under the living sun. He said, I am going to do something daring, and for the sake of his daughter, he defied the opinions of his associates. He stripped himself of pride, prejudice, and dignity. Because the Bible says that when he came to Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him. Have you ever thought of the love and concern of a father that when he saw Jesus, he would be willing to dive down on his knees and beg Jesus to come? I'll tell you, that man stripped himself of dignity. He was one who was used to ruling over people. Now he's begging. He was one that was a man that was respected, but now he stripped himself of pride and he falls down and begs Jesus to come to his house. And I want you to see that in that point, a father's concern expresses itself in action. It's not one thing to say, I am concerned about my child. It's another thing to do something about. But the second thing I want you to think about in our study is a father's faith benefits his children. And that principle is as true today as it was in the days of Jairus, that a father's faith benefits his children. By going to Jesus, Jairus revealed his faith in Jesus and the power Jesus had to heal his daughter. And it must have pleased Jesus to stand in the presence of one who had faith, and a man who had faith enough to act, a man who had faith enough to come to Jesus. Now then, when you think about Jairus coming, I want you to think about Jairus went to see Jesus because of the desperate need of his daughter. Yet it shows he thought about Jesus. He knew who Jesus was, and he went to him. It was his faith in Christ that brought his daughter back to him. Jesus will raise the girl from the dead. And so when Jairus saw there was only one who could help him, he sought him. Who could help him? No one but Jesus. That's an important thought this morning. His faith benefited his children. So the two points I want to get into our heart is that a father's concern expresses itself in action, and a father's faith benefits his children. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life and the lesson journeys. The first thing I want us to think about in our day is it's a joy to see fathers express concern in action. Not just during some physical crisis, but to teach their children about the value of their soul. You see Jairus as a worker in the kingdom. You know what we need today? We need male leaders in the home. We need male leaders in the local church who are willing to work and lead in the house of God. We need people who are willing to stand up and be active. Love is an action. Love is demonstrated. As we said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that God demonstrated His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed His love. And I'll tell you, my beloved friend, that we need to show our love for our children, and we need to show our love for their soul. It's one thing to teach the children they need to get an education. That's good. It's one thing to teach our children how to take care of their automobile or how to take care of a house. That's good. But I'll tell you, my friend, if we fail to teach them the value of their soul, we have failed as fathers. We need them to understand that the most important thing they have is their eternal soul. It's the only thing they have that will last for eternity. And of all the things you show concern over, make sure their soul is what you're most concerned about. And I'll tell you something, my friend. You do that by showing concern about your own soul. If you're not concerned about your own soul, then you're not going to be concerned about your children's soul. And if you're not concerned about your soul, then, my friend, you need to go back and study the Word of God. And you need to be concerned about your soul and the soul of your child. Secondly, isn't it beautiful and good to see fathers active in their children's life? How many children grow up without a male leader in the home? And they do not have what should be their birthright, both a father and a mother. And it thrills my soul to see fathers interested in their children and concerned about them. It used to be fathers didn't think it was manly to say, I love you. But you know something, my friend? That's one of the most manly things you can do. Is let your children know you love. And never be ashamed to say, I love you. Some children grow up never hearing those words. And I'll tell you something, my friend, they need to know their love. And fathers, you need to do good in their lives. You need to not only say you love them, you need to show your love for them. But a third thing I'll tell you, fathers, that are concerned need to do. Do as Jairus and strip aside prejudice, pride, and dignity. Anything that keeps you and your family from Christ. Whatever it is that keeps you and your family from Christ is not worth it. There's nothing in this world worth losing your soul and your children losing their soul over. Not a thing in this world worth losing your soul over. On the day of judgment, when we stand before Christ, we're not going to look back and say, oh, what I did on earth was worth it, when one is cast into eternal damnation. There's nothing worth losing one's soul. But that brings up another thought. Your faith benefits your children. Because you set a godly example so they can gain their own faith and have their own faith. You seek Jesus in your life so they'll have a model of who to turn to in their life. Do your children ever see you pray? Do your children ever see you study the Bible? Do your children ever know that you love God? Do you express that in your home life? See, your faith can benefit your children. When you have faith in God and you say God comes first, that will leave an impression upon them. I'll never forget, when I was little, we were playing baseball, and I was playing second base, and we were in a championship game, I believe it was, or going up towards it. And all of a sudden, I heard time out, and I noticed it wasn't my coach, I heard my daddy's voice. And I'm trying to hide my face, because daddy's walking out on the field, and he said, come on, we got church tonight. And there I left second base unoccupied, and there we went to church. Someone may say, well, why would you do that? Well, he was trying to teach me God comes first. There was an old fellow over in Charlotte, Tennessee. He could play football. Boy, was he something. Football was played on Thursday night. They had to cancel a game, and they coaches went to his house because they were going to replay the game on Saturday, and he's out working in the field, and they told his father, we need him. And his father said, football night's Thursday night. Saturday is working in the field day. He taught him responsibility. We look at that and we say, we can't believe that. You know why we can't believe that? We put sports here, God here. And God pity the day that sports is here and God's here. God pity the day that anything's here and God's here. But I'll tell you something else. Young people today need Jesus. Not all fathers or young people believe this, but don't overlook the need of young people today. Salvation. They need Jesus today. They need to live a more abundant life. Young people are bored today and they need guidance, and they turn to video games and they turn to society and they turn to their friends. They turn everywhere but where they need to turn. And that's where their faith needs to be built up. And fathers, you have a responsibility as a leader in the home to teach your children to put their faith in God. Because I'll tell you, Jesus can still make happy homes. A father may say, I want what is best for my child. Yet what is best? It is a happy home led by a father who teaches them the power of God, who teaches them a true life, an abundant life, is in Christ. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, He said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's the devil. That's why he comes. But look at what Jesus says. "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Do you recognize this morning that God our Father is concerned about you? Do you recognize that His desire is for you to be His child and to walk with Him and to love Him? To reciprocate the love that He has shown us? To show Him honor and reverence? You ever been away from home so long that you couldn't wait to get back? You ever thought about heaven being home and what it'll be like to see God our Father? What we need are more Jairuses. I'm grateful for the fathers here who are concerned about their child's souls and concerned about their own soul, and they're concerned about fulfilling the will of God. Night we were coming home. I say home because I'm talking about 121 Himesville Road. And I said to Sam, "We're almost home." He said, "No, heaven's home. We're almost back to our place." That's right. As children of God, we're citizens in the kingdom of God, and heaven is our ultimate home. Let's live to leave a pattern so our children will know we want them to be saved and heaven can be their home as well. If you need to obey the gospel or need to be restored, our prayer is this morning something's been said to